There are two models of preferential flow I'll be talking about. One that's already been published but recently covers the speed of transport of conservative tracer in preferential flow. And the other, the new part, is the looking at volumetric fluxes of water during preferential flow. So I'll review the one that's already published. This, what it does is to estimate the maximum speed of convective transport defined as the distance traveled by a tracer from source to detection point, that distance divided by the time of first detection, not the peak detection, but the first detection. And it applies only for preferential flow. It's based on a set of data from the literature, 64 published cases, where I found field studies of preferential flow in which this Vmax quantity could be calculated. Either it's presented directly or there are data that it can be calculated from. And I looked for correlations between various properties of the flow situation and the Vmax. I found, surprisingly, a lot of things did not seem to correlate with this Vmax. One thing is the scale of transport, which we see plotted as the x-axis here, no particular trend. Another is the medium. The media include soils, porous rocks, fractured rocks, basalt with lava tubes, and the whole variety. And I'm not showing it in this slide, but I failed to find any significant correlation with those. The one thing that does seem to correlate is how the water is supplied to the subsurface. And if it's a continuous supply as either, say, ponded infiltration or continuous irrigation, the Vmax tends to be significantly higher than for cases of intermittent supply, as for natural rainfall. So for a predictive model, I've got two cases. Continuous and intermittent. Predicting Vmax for continuous supply is very simple. In an approximate model, just take this geometric mean of these numbers for continuous supply. It's about 13 meters per day. That's the prediction. It's going to be a little bit off, but perhaps not too much more than an order of magnitude. For the intermittent supply, it's more complicated. And here what I've done is to assume a pulsed mode of transport. That is, you have intermittent supply, which natural rainfall with some distribution in time, but assume instead that the amount of water that's added comes as a series of discrete pulses. So it's a pulse on, pulse off, at a relatively high infiltration rate. While the pulse is on, assume preferential flow moves at speed V naught. While the pulse is off, assume no flow whatsoever. This is equivalent as a formula. It's equivalent to taking this V naught number and multiplying by a factor, which in effect is sort of a duty cycle of how much time on divided by how much time off during the period of interest. This is equivalent to taking the average infiltration rate over the entire period, say a year of precipitation or what have you, and dividing by some standard value of infiltration rate, which is assumed to be what happens during these hypothetical pulses of rapid input. And for this value of the standardized high input infiltration rate, I'm taking this optimized value of 30 millimeters per hour, optimized as the best fit of this formula in 23 case studies of intermittent flow. The result here has predicted Vmax versus measured, and you can see most around a 1-to-1 line. Most of these are fairly close and almost all within one order of magnitude of the prediction. This is considered based on no input from the type of medium, just Is it continuous or not? How the water is supplied. So this issue of why doesn't it depend on the medium or the moisture conditions needs a lot of thought, I think. There are various hypothetical processes that might explain that sort of thing. One that I find particularly useful is the idea of film flow along the films coating the walls of macropores or fractures. If we assume all preferential flow is in these films of uniform thickness, meanwhile in the matrix material, the soil or rock, assume that microscopically we've got solid water and air phases, the air-water interfaces defined by capillary relations as we're accustomed to. So two domains. In the matrix domain, definitely depends on the medium, on the pore size distribution, and also the given matrix potential determining these air-water interfaces. Whereas the preferential flow in uniform films, it has much less dependence on the medium. For example, if you say you have two media of greatly different fracture apertures, you increase this aperture, your film is only on the walls in uniform thickness, well, that aperture doesn't matter. So it's in that sense, it's independent of the medium. Also, it's determined, the presence of the film is determined by whether infiltration is occurring or not, and so does not depend on the moisture conditions within the medium itself. So artificial, but I believe quite useful, and I've extended it here in a model for predicting the volumetric flux. Okay, two-domain model. In the matrix domain, assume the regular Darcy-Buckingham-Richards formulation. In the preferential domain, assume film flow along macropore walls. Then to characterize the medium for these, the matrix, the usual hydraulic conductivity and water retention, the preferential flow, well, we've come to the end of the being able to ignore the medium. When you talk about the volume of water that's flowing, the medium matters. So one useful characteristic of the medium is the effective macropore facial area. So it's sort of a macropore density as a function of space. And also for the film flow, I'm assuming the same empirical standardized value as from the speed of transport model. So the formula, the main equation for this looks like this, rate of change of water content equals three terms. You can see the first two terms are just Richards' equation. So this is for the matrix domain. The film domain comes in the third term. This term has a factor F, which accounts for the on-off pulse nature of the flow. F has the value of 1 during copious infiltration, otherwise 0. So it makes this term kind of blink on and off. A sub S is an empirical factor that's based can be computed entirely from the standardized values of parameters in the speed of transport model. Then the macropore facial area density, M, comes in here in terms of a spatial derivative, which you can think of as, say you're going from water moving vertically from a region of a whole lot of macropores to not quite as many macropores. M has a big value going to a smaller value, so this spatial derivative indicates that this term is increasing as you go increasing downward. Think of it physically as water in films on a lot of macropores moves down to fewer macropores, same film thickness, that water's got to go somewhere, so where it goes is to increasing the water content in the soil matrix. How to determine this value M of Z, various ways can be done. One that I've found useful is for special conditions. take a field experiment under conditions of copious infiltration and also a situation of a whole lot of macropores, so a lot of preferential flow going on. What this means is that the preferential flow element dominates over the Richards equation flow element. So those first two terms of the equation become negligible. You're left with this third term here. And with this formula, if you have the measured water content as a function of time and space during the flow under these conditions, then you can take the time derivative, integrate over depth from an appropriate reference interval, and that'll give you this value of m as a function of depth. So this is what I've done in a test here. I'll be looking only at this the undisturbed data on the left side here. These data were from a field test by Kaminsky and Pittman, 1990. This is for, okay, water content as a function of depth at different times measured by a neutron probe during ponded infiltration, a 24-hour ponded infiltration period, and you see the profiles here at 6-hour intervals. So this then is the set of water content in space and time data used to calibrate and test the model. So some results. Here's the macropore facial density that results from that. You can see it, of course, it has a large value near the surface, declines fairly rapidly down to 2 or 3 meters. And also there's an inflection in the curve around 1 meter depth. Comparing with data, here we've got the data points here are measured water contents at these various time intervals, 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, and so on. The solid curves are the model predictions. So you can see that it has a reasonable fit of the model to the data, especially at the earlier and the middle times during the infiltration period. Also, it's interesting that this inflection in the macropore intensity function corresponds to a depth where the model predicts somewhat faster change in water content, and at least at the middle times, that seems to be borne out by the data, that water at that depth does go a little faster. So I think this is a promising test, and we'll be carrying it further with other data sets. For now, I'd conclude that at least some of the features of this speed of transport model look like they'll be useful for predicting fluxes. The main features of importance are the constant travel velocity and on-off behavior. Under some conditions, and I say under some because it hasn't been tested very widely yet, but under some conditions, it looks like preferential flow can be effectively modeled as film flow. This has been hypothesized by in many others. Others have used the macropore facial area density. So this confirms that could be a useful index of preferential flow. And finally, that this macropore facial area can be an effective parameterization related to preferential flow. Thank you. I'm assuming here an unsaturated medium. So the macropores are not completely filled, and the matrix has air as well as water in the pores, but during a copious infiltration event, so that it's unsaturated flow, but rapid input. So this would be, I think of things like during a rainstorm infiltration, early in the rainstorm, before the ground is saturated, it can still move quickly down macropores. And so that's the situation here.
One more question?
John, you showed a reduction in the density of macropores over depth. occurs in some cases. And you think the film flow may become saturated at the lower depths is what the vessel uses, so it tends to fill in the cracks or have something more saturated case.
Could be. This simplified version of this model, I'm not taking that mechanism into account, but rather as water accumulates in the fractures, it has to soak into the matrix. That there's only, because these the standardized parameters lead to a constant film thickness. So that's the consistent assumption here. However, it's naturally adaptable to a lot of possible variations. I've only begun to explore.